Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Lineup podcast for Friday, January 26th. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined by Richard Justice. And Richard, I'm here in New York where we had a nice day to look back on baseball's past with the Hall of Fame press conference with Chipper Jones and Vlad Guerrero and Trevor Hoffman and Jim Thome. That was all great fun and good for the soul, so to speak. But it's also good for the soul to see baseball's present and that the hot stove season is still very much present. It's been a slow moving one, of course. We've talked about that many times, but Milwaukee Brewers took care of that on Thursday night. They had the hot stove hopping. No pun intended there with the brewing, but
that's a good
this
one.
Was a team.
You can use that Brewers, one.
I might use that. Brewers, obviously, they're a team that was in a pretty good spot outfield-wise. Now they're in a great spot outfield-wise. They bring in Christian Yelich in a trade with the Marlins. They bring in Lorenzo Cain in what is a reported 5-year, $80 million deal in free agency. So suddenly now a lot of dominoes that could fall from these moves, but because they have this surplus of outfielders. But man, what a night for Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I think this is what good teams do. You know, we all knew David Stearns was shopping for pitching, for starting pitching. Obviously, there hasn't been a price point he can get comfortable with at this point. And so what do? You find areas you can improve yourself. He was not going to make a short-term trade to decimate a farm system that's in a really good spot. But in this trade, he traded four prospects, three of his top 14, including his number one guy, outfielder Lewis Brinson, to get a 26-year-old Gold Glove winner, Christian Yelich, who is under a team-friendly contract for the next 6 years. This is a smart deal. And then he doubles that just when we're saying, okay, now you're taking care of center field. He goes out and gets another really good defensive player in Lorenzo Cain. And, you know, do the Brewers still need starting pitching? Yes. Are they in position to trade for starting pitching? Yeah, sure. Brett Phillips could be traded now. Domingo Santana could be traded now. If the Rays want to trade Jake Odorizzi or Chris Archer, the Brewers are in position to do that. But all that aside, the Brewers got better today. They got more exciting. And this has been the MO under Mark Antanasio since he's owned the club. He looks at a market that they turn out 2.5, 3 million strong. And he is an owner that when you root for that team, you say, I know my guy's going to give us every chance to win.
Well, let's break these deals down individually, Richard. Let's start with Christian Yelich, who, in my opinion, is a breakout superstar waiting to happen. He's had his breakout, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about potential superstar status from a power standpoint. Obviously, Marlins Park can suppress power, and you see that in Yelich's career splits. So now he goes to Miller Park, which does not suppress power, to say the least. So that's a good move for him. It's a good move for him just emotionally, mentally. Obviously, it was a bad situation there for him in Miami when the Marlins traded away their entire outfield this winter around him with Marcelo Ozuna going to St. Louis and, of course, Giancarlo Stanton going to the Bronx. So he was the last man standing in that outfield, and he wanted out. He made that clear. He signed long-term to be Stanton's right-hand man, so to speak. And obviously the situation there changed dramatically in recent months. And you can understand him wanting to go to greener pastures and a win-now territory. So he gets that with Milwaukee. This was a surprise team in 2017 and a team that might take that next step towards October in 2018. And this is a great place for him to really maximize his potential.
Yeah. Can you imagine the culture shock this guy's going to have? He's going to go from a place they're still trying to sell the sport in South Florida. The ballpark was empty a lot of nights to a place where it's full. They care. They're passionate about it. They're rabid. And they're a pretty good club. I mean, I wondered about that with these guys as they leave Miami and they go to these other places, what their attitude is going to be. And just for people who don't know, this guy played in Giancarlo Stanton's shadow, Marcelo Ozuna's shadow at times. This is a really good player. He had a 369 on base percentage last year. Here's career OPS is 800. And like Castro said, when he gets in that ballpark, a hitter-friendly ballpark, he has got a chance to really do some damage. And I think he and Lorenzo Cain and Ryan Braun playing together, those guys are going to feed off each other. He's going to be a pretty happy boy for the next little while as he gets his mind around this change in his life.
I wrote recently about Yelich's, this potential of Yelich being moved, and I just put out some proposed trade ideas. And some people, fans of the teams I was talking about were a little taken back. They said, well, that's way too much for Christian Yelich. I don't think people realize maybe how valuable this player is, right? Because it's not just the talent level, and this guy can impact you in every facet of the game, speed, defense, you know, power, hitting for average, all those things. But also, he just turned 26. He's guaranteed $43.25 million over the next four seasons. That's basically like middle reliever money in today's game.
Yeah. And this is not a projection. This is a guy that had 36 doubles. Just listen, 36 right. doubles, 18 homers, 16 stolen bases, 80 walks. What does that tell you? That tells you the guy can hit it in the gap and run, and that he can get on first base and he can run and do damage. And this is it'll be interesting to see where Craig Counsell hits him in the lineup. You know, wouldn't you like to be with Craig Counsell as he fills out that first lineup card for the first time, as he figures out what to do with Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich? It's a cool thing to see, and he's going to be – Christian Yelich is going to love it there.
Yeah, and obviously the Brewers gave up a lot to get him. You alluded to this earlier, you know, three of their top 14 prospects. And it's important to note, whenever you talk about these prospect rankings, it's all relative to the system, of course. I mean, the top three prospects in Milwaukee's system is a very different thing than the top three prospect – or three of the top 14 in, you know, the Giants system, for instance. So, you know, this was a really big trade cost for the Brewers, and a really – and you know, by the same extension, a really big add from the Marlins' perspective. You mentioned Lewis Brinson is the key piece, but also Monte Harrison, Isan Diaz, and yeah, I'm sure I'm butchering these names, but Jordan Yamamoto. Richard, from the Marlins' perspective, these trades they've made this winter, we know Giancarlo Stanton, that was about moving money. You know, there's not a lot of surplus value associated with Giancarlo Stanton when he's due, you know, almost $300 million over the next 10 years. Marcell Ozuna, two more years of control, you know, so right there, there's a limitation. And, you know, there's the jury's still out on what they got back from Marcell Ozuna from St. Louis. But this Brewers trade, this trade with the Brewers involving Yelich, this one seems to stand, and reasonably so, given, you know, the factors we just mentioned, the years of control and all that, seems to stand as really the most legit baseball trade and the kind of trade that the Marlins need to be making to take that step forward.
Yeah, they held firm, you know. As I mean, I don't know what their leverage was in trading Giancarlo Stanton. They were just trying to get out from under the money, and the money was a big part of the negotiations. Since about the All-Star break last year, they've acquired 25 prospects, and our guys, Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo, say they've elevated their farm system from bottom five to middle of the pack. I mean, they haven't done what Brian Cashman did to the Yankee farm system in a short amount of time, but they're in a good position. And our guys love Lewis Brinson. They say he's got the potential to be a 30-30 guy. And they love Monte Harrison. He was a three-sport star in high school. He's coming off his best professional season. They say he's got a chance to be a 20-20 guy. So when you go down this road, you trust the process. I mean, trust the process. You've heard that. That's a cliche now in baseball. But you do it because you can get a Lewis Brinson and a Monte Harrison. Marlins fans, when they turn out to the park, we'll get to see Lewis Brinson at some point this season. Monte Harrison's probably a year or so away. Some of the other guys are a year or so away. You know, and the work's not done, Castro. I mean, I don't think JT Realmuto wants to stay there. He's 26 years old. Starlin Castro's made it clear he doesn't want to be there. So there's still going to be some moving, but Brinson's 23. The kid Sierra they got from the Cardinals is 21. Braxton Lee's 24. There is going to be the first stage of this. And it, to me, you know, if you're a baseball fan, it's exciting to see these young guys. You don't want to, you know, there's no way to soft sell it. This is painful to go through. In a perfect world, you would rather Derek Jeter went out and added three starting pitchers and full speed ahead. But from a financial standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, farm system standpoint, they weren't in position to do that. So you go ahead. I think the key for me, and I'm sure you agree, is don't do this again. Just stay the course this time. Marlins fans have had their hearts ripped out before with, I think, what have been torn at three times the team has been torn up. Don't do it again. And is Derek Jeter going to have credibility from day one? No. As Michael Hill said, he didn't get into this thing to fail. But how do you build credibility? You don't do it today or tomorrow. You do it day by day, hour by hour. And he understands. He was at a town hall meeting where they basically ripped his butt for 2 hours. So he understands it's going to take some time. They've been burned before. But this is what you do when you embark upon this course. From that standpoint, today was a good day.
Yeah, and Real Muto's got to be feeling like he's, you know, walking from the on-deck circle to the batter's box right now. Like, all right, my turn now, right, guys? He's certainly got to be itching to be the next piece moved and hopefully go to a contending club. And, you know, the Nationals, it's within the division, but they could be a good fit there for Real Muto. We'll see what develops on that front. But for now, let's hear what President of Baseball Operations Michael Hill had to say about Thursday's deal.
Our goal is always to make a deal that makes sense for us and to add quality. I think in this transaction, we've added three impactful position players in Brenton Diaz and Harrison, and added a middle of the rotation starter in Yamamoto. And I think it continues with the theme of adding as much talent to our organization.
So now, Richard, let's shift to the other element for the Brew Crew on Thursday night, which is, of course, the signing of Lorenzo Cain. As I mentioned, 5-year reported $80 million deal. And this was a reunion. Cain, of course, he started his professional career in Milwaukee. Of course, then he was involved in that mega deal for Zach Greinke that turned out to be quite a trade for the Royals. It was really one of the pieces of backbone of their eventual World Series championship. And now Cain heads back to Milwaukee. And this was something that was kind of one of those rumored fits, but it was complicated because obviously, and now here we are, they're going to have to move some pieces from this outfield to make it work. But, Cain was a guy who has just been amazing. There's so many guys in this free agent market just kind of lingering out there longer than they should. But Cain really stands out as a dynamic player who, deserved to find a good fit.
Yeah, I think you and I would agree he's probably the best all-around player that was in this market. It's the biggest contract, 5 years, $80 million. He will be 32 a little bit after opening day. Are you surprised by the aggressive nature of the years, by the fact that he gets a five-year deal that will, at a point where he's about to turn 32?
I am, in this market, very much so. We've seen nobody's gotten, until this point, if I'm not mistaken, Richard, anybody got past 3 years so far in this free agent market. So,
right.
With the exception of Justin Upton's extension with the Angels. So, yeah, very much surprised. Ageism is a very real thing in baseball's marketplace right now. And as you mentioned, Cain, as a guy who relies on his legs as much as Cain does for a 32-year-old, now, people will say that he's quote unquote young in baseball years because, of course, he picked up baseball late in his athletic life. So I don't know how much that factors into these equations. But I was very much surprised by the years. There had been reports they had multiple 4-year offers. And it just seems like Thursday was a day where the Brewers stepped up their offers on both fronts, the Cain front and on the Yelich front.
Yeah, the other side of ageism, like we're only going to do what's logical. We're only going to do 3 years, 4 years, because we know the numbers say when a player gets 30, turns 32, 33, the production goes way down. But I'm also okay. I don't see how you feel about it. I'm okay with the other side of it in that I know what they're feeling in Milwaukee. They want to win now. We got a chance. We feel like we got a little window to win right here, that we're set up really good in the farm system. And so, okay, we're going to get this guy for 3 years. He's going to be an elite player for 3 years, 2 years, whatever. But somewhere along the way, we want to play a lot of October baseball and get our fans fired up because they come out for our team. They come out and tailgate and they show up and they spend money. And that this is what we're doing for them. And I'm okay with that. Maybe the last 2 years are not going to make any sense. Big deal. Let's win now. What do you say to my little cheerleading thing there?
Hey, I'm all for it. Listen, I think you got to maintain momentum in this game. You never know. Sometimes contention sneaks up on you, but you got to seize the moment. It's hard to say that Milwaukee really seized that moment last year. They made some moves at the trade deadline, for Neil Walker and Anthony Swarzak, who was tremendous for them. But they weren't willing to go – you can kind of understand it, but they weren't willing to go a move of like the magnitude of the Christian Yelich trade, for instance. Those trades don't come along often as it is, but you could understand kind of a tempered nature at that point. But this team has so much depth right now. And now, of course, they dealt from that minor league depth to make the Yelich trade happen, but to get a controllable asset. And now, of course, you control Cain for the next 5 years. I mean, they're just set up so well in the outfield. This is really a team you start to feel a lot differently about. Instead of that pesky underdog hoping to contend with the Cubs and Cardinals, now it's like, no, we might have something real here. Now, I still want to see some pitching additions, and I think that's next in the offing. There's already been reports, Domingo Santana and Brett Phillips potentially being moved in this market, but we'll see what the future holds there. But I think you hit on it earlier, Richard, that it's hard to just go out and buy pitching. So maybe here's a way you augment yourself elsewhere and then open yourself up to the possibility of adding pitching, you know, via the trade market.
I mean, Chris Archer seems so logical to me. He signed for 4 more years at a very friendly contract. I mean, is there another starting pitcher out there other than Jake Odorizzi? You know, where should David Stearns begin this search? He's got Santana, he's got Phillips. Where should he go now?
Well, Chris Archer's always made sense, although I understand, if you remember, Richard, we tried to make a deal for the Brewers to get Chris Archer on this very podcast a few weeks back in a Who Says No segment, and you guys said no to my offers, so you and Mark Feinzan, I believe. So it's hard to pull a trade of that magnitude, but yeah, Archer makes sense. I know for a fact that the Brewers did some homework on Danny Salazar earlier this winter. Of the Indians, so that's a potential trade candidate right there from the Indians' starting pitching depth.
How available is he?
He's reasonably available. I mean, it has to be controllable, you know, cost-effective help, and just so happens the Brewers happen to have that, and the Indians happen to have an Indian outfield. So I'm not saying it happens, but those two sides line up pretty well right now, so it wouldn't shock me.
Those are the two that come to mind, but Danny Salazar is 28 years old. He's got the big arm that a guy like David Stearns would like. So it makes it interesting.
It does.
Let's look at it this way. Okay, how do we line up in the NL Central at this point? Is it still Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers at the end of this day?
Now you're putting me on the spot. I want to see. I was going to say when the offseason is over. I'm going to say when spring training is over, I'll feel better about making those predictions. Because I think the offseason is very much going to bleed into spring training. It's going to be really hard to do, you know, spring training power rankings this year because they're such a moving target right now. And people have called this a dull offseason just because of the lack of actual transactions. But I think it's been kind of a fun offseason in the sense that there's just been constant speculation in this period we're in right now that used to be such a dead time in baseball. It's still really interesting and intriguing, and so many things can go so many different ways still. And the Brewers are very much still a part of that because now they have depth to trade. They still have needs. If you really want to put them, I still put the Cubs number one in the pecking order. And then, you know, it's a matter of preference between the Brewers and Cardinals for me. But yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done on really all three of those rosters. And that's what's so fascinating because we are so close to the start of spring training camps.
Yeah, and you know the Cardinals are saying, okay, we're okay with these young guys closing games for us. Gregerson closing games till the young guys are ready. We feel pretty good about third base. I wonder if that changes because listen, everything does impact every other thing. And Theo Epstein was already in the market for pitching. I wonder if he's more inspired now to go out and stretch a little bit to get Yu Darvish to re-sign Arrieta or you know to give Alex Cobb the fourth or fifth year that Alex wants, something like that. A night like this impacts a lot of other teams, and that's a good thing for us.
Well, as you just said, Richard, every domino creates other dominoes, and that leads to my next question for you, which is what happens next in the free agent outfield market? Lorenzo Cain was, you know, kind of at the forefront of that market, as is, of course, J.D. Martinez. It's just still a lot of names out there. Carlos Gonzalez is an intriguing bounce-back candidate. Carlos Gomez is out there. We've seen Austin Jackson, of course, go to the Giants. So that shores up, you know, one obvious spot. And now the Brewers seem pretty well set in their outfield. So I don't think they're going to do anything else. But obviously still a lot of names out there. What's your read on that market in general right now?
You know, I still think J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox are close enough to a deal that they should be able to finish it. I also think he does not want to DH. And if he goes to Boston, he's going to have to DH. But I can't look at the map and see a better alternative for him if they're really ready to go 5 years for him or whatever the reports are. I mean, I think that's where he's going to end up. And then I think Carlos Gonzalez is going to have to take one of those bounce back contracts. Same thing with Carlos Gomez. They could very well bounce back. But, and what we're leaving out is I don't know that J.D. Martinez is a fit for Colorado. But Colorado is the one team that jumps out as a team that needs another bat in the outfield. So we'll see.
Would you rather have J.D. Martinez for 5 years or Carlos Gonzalez for one?
I would take Carlos Gonzalez for one, but I don't know that, I think Rockies fans would be more excited about the unknown, but Carlos Gonzalez is a pretty popular player there. What would you do? One for Gonzalez or five for JD?
Well, as they say in baseball, there's no such thing as a bad 1 year deal. So I guess the cautious person within me would lean towards that. I just feel like Carlos Gonzalez is really in a good position to have a bounce back year. And maybe I'm reading too much into the way he finished 2017 in Colorado. He had a really strong September. And kind of changed his sleep patterns and whatnot. And maybe I'm just, still falling in love with the cargo of old and thinking that's still in there. But I'd be really intrigued with him on a 1 year deal. We had Mike Petriello on the other day talking about, the aging curves, for guys with JD Martinez's profile. And while it looks good those first couple of years, of course, the back end is really iffy. It can go, in either direction. So I'd feel pretty good about Cargo on a 1 year deal in the right situation. I think that could be a situation that involves in Arizona. If they aren't able to re-sign JD Martinez, then Cargo makes a lot of sense for them. So,
You're right. They're not going to get Manny Machado. And I think defense matters in Colorado. He's a 3-time Gold Glove winner. That is a huge outfield to cover. And you want a guy that can run. And even at 32, he showed last year he can still run. So, there are still lots of unfinished business, obviously.
Absolutely. Even in Milwaukee, the Brewers just added more intrigue to their offseason now with these big acquisitions, because now it could lead to some other moves. So we'll be piquing our interest there to see what David Stearns has up his sleeves next. But a monster night for Milwaukee on Thursday night, and the hot stove is hopping once again. That's good to see. And we'll continue to check in it here on the Morning Lineup Podcast. Until then, my thanks to Richard Justice. My thanks to you for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.